Today is May 6th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. To get the full story on anything we cover in this show, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Another grab bag show this week, and Brian Chaffin joins me in the context machine. Let's start with a low-impact story. Apple Computer launched a new ad campaign on Monday, a campaign simultaneously promoting macOS X's Windows compatibility, Apple's bundled software, and lampooning Windows' most prominent issues, including stability and security. The ads feature John Hodgman and Justin Long. To get a sense of the shtick, you can watch the ads through the links at the show notes. By late in the week, some chatter had started about whether the ads struck the proper chord. Some pundits and some of our readers were saying they did more to alienate PC users than to entice them. Now, if you're really in the mood for some comedy, the next version of Windows, called Vista, may be delayed yet again to the second quarter of 2007. Analysts at the Gardner Group believe that the OS upgrade is on a par with the overhaul that Windows underwent prior to the release of Windows 2000. That version of the OS took 16 months to reach manufacturing after its Beta 2 release. As a result, they see Microsoft spending 9 to 12 months, not 5, refining Vista after its Beta 2 release, which is expected in May or June. A best-case scenario from Gartner saw Microsoft releasing Vista to manufacturing next February, which would put it on store shelves 2 months after that. Okay, one more funny story. Dandieu de Vabre, the French Minister of Culture, responsible for legislation that would require Apple and other manufacturers to make music downloads playable on any and every device, has defended the legislation as both courageous and forward-thinking. I point out that article only as an addendum to our earlier show on DRM, and because I wanted to say the cultural minister's name. Can you blame me? Okay, enough of that. Let's do some real news. Napster on Monday introduced a free web browser-based addition to its service, enabling anyone to listen to its more than 2 million songs for free, up to 5 times each. The service works through any browser on macOS 10, Linux, or Windows, and requires nothing more than a membership sign-up. Once a user has listened to a song 5 times, they're limited to a 30-second clip, along with a reminder that they can become a Napster subscriber to continue hearing it. The new free service is currently available only in the United States. Napster said it will expand it to other countries over time. More on this when we get Brian into the context machine in just a minute. And speaking of the music biz, if you're in need of a reminder of the stakes in this industry, research firm Instat on Monday issued a research report in which it projected that the annual market for MP3 players will reach 286 million by 2010. Instat's consumer survey also found that 49% of MP3 player owners have an iPod. No matter what the stakes in this business, creative doesn't look to be the firm coming out on top, at least not at the moment. The pioneering manufacturer of MP3 players announced a net loss of about $114 million for the last quarter, primarily due to one-time costs related to its graphics business and to the falling prices of flash memory. Last up for this week's news, there was a lot of analyst chatter this week. I'll hit some of the high points and point you toward the show notes if you want all of the gory details. We'll also talk about some of this stuff with Brian. Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster on Thursday released a research report in which he attributed 22 unanswered questions on Apple. He covered the gamut from iPod and iTunes related queries to Mac questions, retail store speculation, and general business operations kind of stuff. Mr. Munster doesn't expect Apple to drop the iPod Shuffle, that was one of his comments, nor add features to the low-end MP3 player. He believes that there's a 75% chance that Apple will release the fabled iPhone, a combination cell phone and iPod, within the next 12 months. He predicts that Apple will eventually offer theatrical films on the iTunes Music Store, and that, drumroll please, he expects Apple to continue to work to gain market share in the computer business, yet sees Wall Street's fixation on market share as an overly simplified approach. Thank you, Mr. Munster. While he doesn't see Apple licensing Mac OS X, he does think that the release of Boot Camp created a small chance that Apple will sell the Windows operating system either in its retail stores or, less likely, as an option when buying a Mac. An interesting idea. Finally, Mr. Munster addressed Apple's potential uses of its just over $8 billion US in cash, which amounts to over $9 per share. He wrote, the following uses of cash are underway or upcoming. $500 million in prepayment of NAND flash, $350 million of stock buyback, which essentially benefits senior-level management, $50 million for a data center and the new Cupertino campus, which is another major expense. CEO Steve Jobs did specifically indicate at the company's recent shareholder meeting that Apple has no intention of paying a dividend. I won't spend a lot of time on the other Wall Street comments. Mr. Munster, as usual, was the most comprehensive in his analyses, but American Technology's Shaw Wu released a report. We also carried a report on Portal Player, which is a key Apple vendor for iPod chipsets. The Portal Player report is quite interesting, but the story is pretty easy to sum up. Apple switched away some of its iPod business to other vendors. And since then, Portal Player, because Portal Player makes more than two-thirds of its revenue from iPod-related business, they're kind of screwed. Needless to say that there's no way we know whether or not they'll bounce back. They could always win iPod contracts in the future, but the situation for at least the next few quarters looks pretty lousy for the firm. Okay, let's get into the context machine and do the interesting stuff. Here this week, the one and only Brian Chaffin. Once again, Brian, good to have you back.
Thank you kindly, man. Good to be here. Good to be here.
What do you think about these new Apple ads? Are these something new and different, or is there no reason for us to be talking about this?
Well, I don't know that it's new and different. I mean, really, it's the switcher ad all over again, but this time it's not first-person testimonials. It's being presented to us in a scripted and clever manner. I think that, first of all, I should give some context to my opinions on this. It is my opinion that the Switcher campaign was a huge success. Now, a lot of people think that it wasn't a success because Apple didn't grow its market share with the Switcher campaign, but I posit that in reality, Apple's market share within the computer industry would have plummeted without the Switcher campaign, because the Switcher campaign was happening at the same time that Apple was dealing with Motorola having completely dropped the ball on the G4 processor. And I think that had the Switcher campaign not been bringing in tons of people to Apple's then growing fleet of Apple stores, that we would have seen a drastic decrease in market share instead of a holding steady slight decline. So with that in mind, I think that this new campaign is going to be a success. I think that they're clever. I think that they're funny. I think that the kind of people that don't like them are not Apple's target market in any way whatsoever. I think that they're really well done, and I think that people will be talking about them.
Now, there was some chatter toward the end of the week. There were people writing comments on some of the articles, and also I think some of the stuff that we carried, where people were saying, you know, actual Windows users who were maybe even considering buying a Mac, who saw these ads, said, this is really obnoxious to me as a PC user. It's basically portraying me as some stodgy whatever. Do you think that there's any solid basis for that way of looking at things? Is there any possibility that these ads are going to turn people off?
No. The people that are going to be turned off are not people who would have been buying in the first place. More specifically, I believe that Apple is not portraying PC users in that light. I believe that they're portraying the PCs themselves. And I think that the people that are grousing in forums on sites like ours and other Mac sites are you know, feeling like it's hitting close to home, but again, they're not Apple's market here in the first place.
That seems reasonable. Now, let's switch gears a little bit, talking about Windows. There was this report from the Gardner Group saying that Windows Vista might be delayed even further, and I'm starting to feel like we should start an office pool, or maybe there is one already, but when would you, if you were going to guess, when would you say we're going to see Windows Vista?
Late 2007, maybe early 2008. That'd be my guess. If we see it any earlier, I think it's going to have even more features stripped out. I just don't. Microsoft has such a monstrosity on its hand that it's going to continue to cause them problems, and it's going to continue to slip.
Now, when you hear reports over and over again of stuff like this, Vista delayed, Vista getting features dropped, is Windows, is Microsoft just going to like shrivel up and die? Is Microsoft going to implode, or is this, what's the context for Microsoft here?
The context for Microsoft is that they're going to have more of a fight on their hands with both the Linux and Apple platforms. But the world is not going to end for Microsoft. They will continue to sell copies of Windows. They will continue to sell new copies of Windows on, you know, some 90% of all new computers sold. That's a big number in and of itself. That they're not going to be selling as many box copies. I'm sure that their profits will be hurt, but you know, it probably will affect Microsoft's stock price. But the company itself has gajillions of dollars in the bank and can go.
They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere at all.
Yeah. So, but on the other half of it, a lot of people have written, and this argument is pretty straightforward. You say, well, for a company that's comparatively very small, like Apple or anyone who's trying to pitch Linux, a tiny gain in market share for those firms would represent a huge gain in relative gain for that company. In profit. So do you think that this has the potential to be beneficial for Apple, even if the impact to Microsoft at the end of the day is not going to be that big?
Absolutely. I mean, any opportunity that Apple has to gain market share from Microsoft is a good thing. And as you said, you know, 1% loss in market share isn't all that big a deal for Microsoft, but it is, in fact, a huge gain for Apple itself, especially since course, Apple is actually selling hardware and as well as software, and not just software. So these delays will give Microsoft's competitors more of an opportunity, and that's, you know, I think that that's going to end up making everyone all that much better.
Fair enough. Now, we've been talking a little bit about Apple competitors. Let's talk about Napster for just a moment. They released this web-based service where they let you listen to single copies of, or you let you listen to a single song up to five times, and then you have to buy it or you have to subscribe to their service to listen to it more. Now, it doesn't support the Mac, and I went over there and looked around at it, but of course couldn't listen to any music. What do you think of the idea of this service? Does it interest you at all? Does the idea seem interesting?
Well, yeah, I think it's a great thing for Napster to do as a company. They've got to do something to get people paying some attention to them. You know, the vast majority of their revenues are coming from the subscription side of things, and if they can get folks to come over and give a listen, and maybe make some ad revenue in the process. Of course, they're going to be sharing some of that ad revenue with the labels, but it's still more revenue. Then that's great. At the end of the day, it's probably not going to make all that much difference in the battle, but it is another tool in their arsenal.
That also seems reasonable, and I think that's enough of that. Let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about analyst commentary. The one thing that I've been meaning to ask you is your opinion on, everyone, all the analysts seem totally convinced that an iPhone is on its way, that some cell phone iPod combination where Apple provides some kind of service that goes with it, where you can download music and talk to people on the phone, do all this stuff. Everyone seems to agree that that's on its way. Does that make sense to you? Is this thing for real?
I first heard about the iPhone 5-6 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was a long time ago. I forget precisely when. But my feeling is that this product has existed in one form or another at Apple for a long time, but it doesn't mean it's ever going to see the light of day. And I'm thinking that word has leaked out from either the folks working on the product or maybe a focus group or something somewhere. Word has leaked out on this product that is being worked on, but whether or not it gets released is anybody's guess at this point.
So it seems like your assumption is that they've gotten some lab, they've been making prototypes of hardware, and they've been maybe testing, focus group testing it and asking people, you know, do you think this is good, and trying to keep the product ready or continue to prepare the product as iTunes evolves and as the cell phone industry evolves and as the music industry evolves, but they haven't found the opportunity or the occasion where they say, this is something that we should do now.
Well, first of all, let me stress that I have no idea if Apple has ever shown this or any other product, any other particular product to a focus group. Apple's not big on the focus groups, even though I do know that they do on occasion use them, but they're not like Microsoft where everything goes through 16 different focus groups so that the end product is designed by committee. But focus groups aside, the bottom line is that Apple would have to be staffed by idiots for them not to have looked at entering the cell phone market in some way or another. Cell phone market is huge, and the convergence between cell phones and everything else is in most ways inevitable, despite the fact that Apple CEO Steve Jobs says it's about the music, stupid. Of course, he also said that
about the video iPod.
Yeah, that Apple wasn't going to be releasing, but that's really another point. Apple has to have looked at this.
And we know that they have. They had this deal set up with Motorola, and they've clearly been paying attention to cell phones and how they apply to their music business over time. So that certainly makes sense.
Well, but what Apple's done with Motorola, though, is Motorola making the phones. So right. what we're talking about with the iPhone would be, of course, Apple actually doing all the work.
Now, again, these comments about the iPhone come from analysts all over the place. One of them in particular is gentleman Gene Munster, Piper Jaffray, who had this monstrous report this week. Generally speaking, just wide-angle lens here on Gene Munster, what is your opinion of his analysis of Apple generally? Do you think he's generally on the mark or has a good idea what's going on there?
He is generally on the mark. He tends to be a tad optimistic. I think that among the analysts, he is certainly among those who grok Apple the most.
Which seems fair. It also seems like, with of course, all due respect to all of you fine listeners and to the readers at TMO, it also seems like one of the reasons why so many Mac users and readers at TMO and elsewhere consider him one of the best analysts and appreciate his opinion so much, because he's so positive on Apple.
Well, there's two ways. Yeah, that's true. And there's two ways to look at that. One is that we like Gene Munster because Gene Munster says what we want to hear. The other side of that is we like Gene Munster because his analysis is accurate, generally speaking, since he tends to go in the same direction that I do. I think that I'm a good analyst. I'm going to go with a latter interpretation. But, you know, of course, we as Mac users certainly want to hear folks that are telling us that we're right. But he tends to do so in a very sound manner, and he will call a spade a spade and talk about the things that aren't going right. But he does tend to sometimes overestimate the number of units sold, and he's been a little bit on the upside of where Apple's numbers have come in a couple of times.
And that's always a good reality check to hear. One last thing. There's been talk from, again, a lot of analysts about soft iPod sales this quarter or going forward. What exactly does soft mean in context? Does that mean fewer iPods sold than in the past, or does this mean that the rate of growth is going to start to cool down a little bit? What does this mean, that iPod sales are soft?
Yes. Next question. I'm kidding. Seriously, Apple, I mean, this whole industry is so new that, you know, going from quarter to quarter, new rules are basically being written, and new, you know, it's, I mean, there is no trend to be seen. I'm sorry, taken out of context, that doesn't make any sense at all. Of course there's a trend to be seen. The iPod is a huge success, but we haven't had an iPod update in a while, plus the rumored full-screen video iPod is nowhere to be seen, and without some kind of fresh updates, the Apple sales are sure to not be as heavy as they would otherwise. And on top of that, Apple had a blowout quarter in December, and that met a lot of the demand that was already out there. So seeing soft sales, that really shouldn't be much of a surprise in that we haven't had anything updated in a while. We're certainly going to see sales coming in for the June quarter that are still well above last year, but they may actually come in lighter than they were in the March quarter, and certainly it'll be lighter than it was in the December quarter for obvious reasons, it not being the Christmas buying season. But Apple is still going to sell an enormous amount of iPods.
And do you feel that going forward, looking, for example, to the next holiday buying season, that Apple is lined up one way or another to continue to grow, sort of comparing year ago quarters, that, you know, next December they'll be selling better than they did this past December, which was whatever it was, 14 million iPods.
Oh, good Lord, who knows? My guess is what it's going to take for that to happen will be for Apple to have new products all over again that everybody's got to have. That's how they'll beat that quarter. Either that or to have really pushed iPods even more successfully in the rest of the world, in particular in Japan. I think it's a lot of Apple's buying cycle, especially with the iPod, is very dependent on the new model cycle. So until we know exactly what Apple's going to do, it's kind of hard to predict something like that. But it would be very foolish for Apple not to have planned something to goose sales next Christmas.
So they've got to continue the magic trick every year.
Pretty much, yeah. It's you know, it's consumer electronics. That's absolutely the case. They have to fire on all cylinders at all times.
Sounds about right. And I think we'll leave it at that. Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely, Ricky. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. As always, if you have questions about the news, thoughts about the news, comments about the news, anything that you think is worth people's time to hear about in the Context Machine, send it to me. I love hearing from you guys. The email is roundup@macobserver.com. And as always, it's time for a quick product roundup. CEI on Tuesday introduced Insight Lite, a version of its visualization software aimed at small and medium-sized companies, as well as academic institutions and firms whose users don't need all the functionality of the full Insight software. CEI will ship Insight Lite this summer, with pricing set at $2,500 US. for the standalone commercial license and $625 for the approved academic institutions out there. iLife Stuff on Wednesday released three templates for iWeb. The new templates are named Light, Pink, and Green, and they join iLife Stuff's previous released Wood, Yellow, and Water. They're $13 each, or all six are available for $30. Aspire Media on Friday announced that Sid Meier's Civilization IV, the series that just won't die, which it will publish next month, is now available for pre-order. Pricing will be $50. System requirements have not yet been released, although it will definitely be a universal binary. Aspire's Call of Duty 2 is also getting ready to ship. It's going to cost $50 as well. QuickerTech on Monday introduced a new transceiver that can as much as double the MacBook Pro's wireless range. And iProng, formerly known as iPod Garage, the company formerly known as, will be on hand at Mac Gathering to offer free 15-minute iPod and iTunes tutoring sessions at its booth. They'll also offer free seminars on the iPod Nano, iPod Shuffle, and Video iPod. Mac Gathering will be held May 19th and 20th in North Hollywood, California, through a coupon available on the iProng website. Attendees can register for 2 days of seminars for as little as $90, or register for a $7 exhibit hall pass. And speaking of upcoming trade shows, the Podcast and Portable Media Expo is scheduled for late next September. You can find more about all that stuff at the show notes, which are, as always, at macobserver.com/roundup. And also this week, Misha Sakalaropoulou reviewed the Fabrics pouch-style cases for the iPod. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the weekly roundup. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. Stay subscribed, everybody. Till next week. I'll see you online.